Hey there, Roamers. Welcome to the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel, where we get to hear from full-time RVers, unpack their experiences, and learn actionable advice to help you roam in your home too. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Thank you so much for being here. Buckle up, my friend. Let's get ready to go on an adventure together right now. Before we start the show, I have to tell you about an exciting opportunity for solo travelers. If you love the idea of this RV life but not sure about going it alone, now you don't have to. Embark on your solo adventures with confidence and camaraderie. Join the Wandering Individuals Network RV Club today for the ultimate journey tailored to the independent traveler. Visit WindsRVClub.com to learn more, and be sure to check out Episode 6, where Janelle, the owner of Winds RV Club and a solo traveler herself, shares her story and all about this fantastic club. You won't want to miss it. Now back to the show. Welcome back to the Roam in Your Home podcast, the show where we dive into the world of RV living with tips, stories, and insights from those who live it every day. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Today, I'm sharing part 2 of my conversation with Anne from On the Road of Adventure. If you haven't listened to part 1 yet, go now and listen, then come back for part 2. You won't want to miss either episode. In today's second half of our conversation, we start off by Anne sharing her and Brian's top 5 favorite locations. She then goes on to share so many awesome tips and valuable information, like how to stay safe on the road and her advice for anyone thinking of starting this RV life. Anne is known for sharing all things food and beverage while they travel, and she shows just how easy it is to cook a wonderful meal in her RV kitchen. This conversation was so much fun, and I loved getting to know Anne better, and I know you will too. So I won't make you wait any longer. Let's jump right back into our conversation where I ask Anne to share her top 5 favorite locations. You guys have been to so many different places. I would love to hear, what are your 5 favorite locations?
You know, this is maybe the hardest question you're going to ask me, right?
I know. It's so hard. And it changes. I'm sure Glacier is probably going to add to this list when you go there. So it keeps changing as you travel.
It could. Yeah, it could. So number 1 for me is Bryce Canyon National Park. I don't know if you have been yet.
No, it's on our list.
So Bryce Canyon for me is like, it's just magical. It's like a fairyland of red rock and so, so beautiful. And it's not a huge national park. And I don't know why, but it has been on the top of my list since we went there 5 years ago, and it has stayed at the top of my list. We went back one time since then.
Awesome.
So I think the first time that we went, we just drove there and we spent the day, and I loved it. And then during COVID, actually, when the world had shut down and Utah was still fairly open, we went back to Bryce Canyon and we stayed for a couple of weeks.
Oh, how nice.
And that was really fantastic because we were able to see it many times while we were there. And the longer that we have spent at any national park, the more that we have loved the national park. So it's like talking about the Grand Canyon or people who travel and they go to the Big 5.
Right.
You know, they do all of the Grand Canyon and all of the Utah National Parks in one trip, and they do it in like 7 days, you know, 7 days to see the Big 5. Like, how do you do that? How do you actually even see them? And more importantly, how do you experience them? So for us at Bryce Canyon, we not only got to do the main drive, but we went and did this short little hike to this waterfall that's way off of the main canyon. I hiked from sunset to sunrise point.
Wow.
So I really got to experience the hoodoos and go down into the canyon, which was awesome. We biked. So, you know, experiencing stuff on different levels and not just through the window of a car is, I think, so important when you're visiting a place like that. And Bryce Canyon was magical for me.
Oh, I can't wait to go. I've heard that from so many different people. So, oh, that's exciting.
I hope you get a chance. You know, Bryce is, when you think of the Grand Canyon, I don't know if you know this, but the Grand Canyon is part of, geologically, a staircase.
No.
And Bryce Canyon is the top of that staircase.
Oh, wow. That makes so much sense because I've heard so many people say, oh, Bryce Canyon's way better than the Grand Canyon. I have heard so many people say that. I'm like, really? I have to go. That's really cool.
It's just really different. So when you go, just imagine that, because it's really like Bryce Canyon is at the top. Then you go down through Grand Escalante and into Zion National Park and then down into the Grand Canyon. If you look from the top to the bottom, it makes a staircase.
I never heard that before. How interesting. That's so cool.
And the Grand Canyon's not on my list, but I don't know why. I guess because I had to limit it to 5. So,
right.
And Bryce Canyon has been my favorite national park so far.
Awesome.
So number 2 on my list is South Dakota. We loved the Badlands, which is on the east side of South Dakota, but we really, really love the area of the Black Hills.
Oh, awesome.
And I don't know, I think a lot of people who travel full-time kind of just glance by South Dakota, North Dakota.
Yeah.
But we both really loved South Dakota a lot. You have Custer State Park, which is really like going on safari in the United States, where you get in your car and you go out in the evening and you can just drive and see bison and elk and deer and prairie dogs. It's like a mini, mini American safari experience.
That's perfect.
You have Mount Rushmore there, and I can tell you that if you haven't been, take time to go back in the evening for the lighting ceremony because it is spectacular.
Awesome.
And then we just spent a couple weeks just recently in Spearfish and had a chance to experience Spearfish Canyon. And there are so many waterfalls and you have the hills. It's beautiful. And the people are just so nice. South Dakota, we really, really like.
That's on our list, but it wasn't like, you know, one of even like the top few on our list, top 3, until I've been talking to so many people about it. And everybody loves South Dakota. So that's like moving up for sure. I'm glad you brought that up.
I think a lot of people end up going to South Dakota because they domicile in South Dakota, and you have to go in order to technically become a resident. You have to go and spend a couple nights there. So people end up going just to do that. But what they don't realize is just how beautiful it really is. And I know there's a whole part of South Dakota that we haven't seen.
Oh, wow.
That is also supposed to be fantastic. And yeah, definitely would recommend it.
Oh, good.
So number 3 for us is Tucson.
Oh, okay.
You know, we like Arizona in general, but Tucson for us is really special. Our first year on the road, we were having our first Christmas in Quartzsite, Arizona, which we had heard was like the Mecca for RVers in the winter. And we just had no idea what to expect. We were there by ourselves. It was way before RV season was fully underway. We didn't know anybody. We were both so sad. Quartzsite is a cool place to go, and it makes a great stopover. And if you're boondocking, it's some of the best boondocking that you can ask for. But it is not the Christmas trees, Christmas lights city that we knew from growing up in Michigan.
Right.
And so here we were. It was our first year on the road, and we were both a little bit sad that we were away from everybody.
Sure.
And the little bar that was open had one tiny Christmas tree on the corner of their bar, and that was all of the Christmas decorations Aww. That there were. And we looked at each other and said, why are we here?
Like, right.
We have wheels. Yes. We can go somewhere. And so we looked at the map and we were like, let's go to Tucson. So I think that's part of why I love it so much. We went to Tucson. It totally changed our experience of Christmas.
Aww.
We have been back to Tucson a couple of times since then. We love the restaurant scene that's there. As much as I love to cook, I also love to go out to good restaurants.
Yes.
Tucson has an amazing restaurant scene. They have great music scene. So we have heard some really great bands play in Tucson.
Awesome.
And you have the Saguaro National Park that's there. A lot of great hiking. you can be hot in the main part of Tucson and drive up to the mountains and be in snow on the same day.
Nice.
So it really is diverse. I really, really like Tucson a lot.
So good.
Have you been there?
No, and it's on our list too. It's like, gosh, have we done anything? We have a lot on our list.
Well, it's good to know.
But we love Arizona. We have been to Arizona. We love it, but we've not been to Tucson. So that's good. You're giving us so many more things to add on.
Well, have you been to Northern Michigan?
No. And we are from Ohio and we've never been to Michigan at all.
What?
I know. I just recently, probably within the past year, discovered the Upper Peninsula on pictures. Yeah. And I'm like, where is this magical place? And it's like, it's Michigan. And so that, while we're in Ohio, we hope to go, because we come back to Ohio to see our family and friends, you know, every year. So we are going to plan when we're in Ohio to visit the northern part of Michigan. It's amazing, yes. At least in the pictures. And like we said, it's always 1,000 times better in person. So
Brian and I are from Michigan, but we're from Detroit area.
Okay.
It's culturally a great place to go and visit. Not an easy place to visit in an RV because there's just not a ton of RV parks.
Right.
But it's not the beautiful part of Michigan. The beautiful part of Michigan is the western side and the northern side of the Lower Peninsula and really all of the Upper Peninsula.
I can't wait to see it. We're both so excited to go. Yes.
And I'm telling you, there's no national park in Michigan because they can't figure out which place should get it.
Oh, I love that. That's probably why.
It is really beautiful. Where in Ohio are you from?
We are from Northeast Ohio, like an hour from Cleveland, an hour from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So right there.
Okay. Yeah. So you're not that far.
No.
Someday, if you're doing that, you could actually do a loop and go up through like upstate New York and come down through Canada.
Oh, wow. Yes.
And go that way, just as an idea for you.
Yeah, that's such a good idea.
As much as we are from Michigan, the more that we have traveled, the more we have recognized how beautiful Michigan really is. And what a great place it can be to go, especially in the summer.
Isn't that amazing? Like when you travel out of your area, the more you realize how beautiful your area is when you come back. That has happened to us so many times. Like we lived in Ohio until, I guess we've moved to Florida like 20 years ago. So, you know, half of our life was in Ohio and then, you know, almost half of our life was in Florida. And both times, like when we go back to either area, Ohio or Florida, we're like, where was all this beauty when we lived there? And it was there and we were too busy to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, there is so much beauty that was all around us this entire time and we never took time to look at it and notice it. And so it's funny that you said that because that is so true. We do appreciate Ohio the more we come back and appreciate Florida the more we go back there. And I'm glad you guys noticed that too about Michigan. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, we're missing it a little bit this year, but it's easier because we're in a beautiful part of the country. So after this summer, I might have to revise my list. We're in some pretty spectacular places. So, but number five for right now, because I haven't revised my list, but number five for right now is Fredericksburg, Texas. So we just bought an RV lot in Fredericksburg. After 5 years, we decided that we wanted to have a place to have a winter home base.
So nice.
And just to take a, you know, we definitely are not done traveling. We have a lot of places we still want to see. We still love this RV life. And after moving every 2 to 4 weeks for the last 5 years, we are ready to have a place where we can go and spend a few months at a time.
Yes.
And take a break from travel and just get some stuff done around the house and just have a home base. And we both fell in love with Fredericksburg. I worked in the wine business for 25 years before we left to live this life. So I always had a fondness for being near wineries, and Fredericksburg is the heart of wine country, at least the wine tasting rooms in Texas. And it's the middle of hill country. It's just beautiful. And we're super excited to have a home base on and a place that we can go that we both really love. So Fredericksburg is my number 5.
Congratulations on the recent purchase of your RV lot. That looks amazing. And
thank you.
That's so exciting to have a home base where you know you can look forward to just kind of being stationary and just relaxing for a while every year. That's wonderful.
We're looking forward to it. I think it's going to be good. It's close to San Antonio, close to Austin, close to lots of other places for us to launch. To listen to me, I'm already planning travel. Like, I can't get rid of that. Like, lots of other places in Texas that we haven't had a chance to visit, but it will be really nice to have. We're hoping that once we have it, that we'll be able to offset some of our cost of it through rental. So.
Oh, great. That's so smart.
We'll see. We don't think we're going to make any money on it, but we hope to offset some of our costs.
Yeah, that's so smart. That's a great idea. And I always like to ask people, how do they stay safe on the road? That was one of the things that we never really were too concerned about safety. And then a lot of people like our family and friends that didn't know anything about RVing either, they would start telling us different things they heard. And then we were starting to get a little bit nervous about it. And honestly, we have never had any bad experiences. There was recently something in the news and, you know, so then you kind of get like, okay, well, maybe we need to plan more to be safe. But I just was curious, two things. Have you guys ever had any bad experiences? And also, what do you guys do to stay safe on the road to make sure that you don't have any bad experiences?
Thankfully, luckily, we have never had any bad experiences on the road. Knock on wood. I think the majority of people in our world are good people. And sadly, there are a few people who are not. And so, most importantly, I think we use our common sense. And if we don't feel safe somewhere, and this has not happened to us, but if we did not feel safe somewhere, we would leave.
Right.
Even if it meant leaving our rig behind.
True.
We would take care of our personal safety and we would get out of the situation.
So smart.
Yeah. Nothing is worth that. And I know you and I exchanged messages after that recent incident in that rest area. I think that is horrible and so sad. And thankfully, we don't hear about stories like that every single day.
Right.
I don't know the whole thing. I didn't see the video. I don't really want to, but I think using common sense and being as smart as you can be in the lifestyle is important. And the big thing that we do to stay safe is that we maintain our vehicles and plan ahead.
That's so smart. That is so smart because there's so many times where just even recently we were leaving Florida going to Ohio and, you know, we were traveling with two different vehicles and my husband gets into the Jeep and he was like, oh my gosh, it needs an oil change. And I was driving the Jeep for a while and I didn't even notice that. That's something that's so important. He's like, well, we're not going to leave and drive 1,000 miles if it needs an oil change now. We're towing and we got to definitely be more safe and better safe than sorry. And so, yeah, we delayed a few hours while he changed the oil and all that. And it's like, you know, things like that. It's so important that you said that. And I never really think of it too often. My husband thankfully does, but you really do have to maintain your vehicles and, you know, tires and the tire pressure. And there's a lot that goes to it. I'm glad that you brought that up. And that is a big thing to keep you safe.
There is a lot. And that's all part of the challenge of living the lifestyle or the inconvenience of living the lifestyle. But
yes,
it's also really important for keeping you safe on the road and making sure that you're trying to take control of the uncontrollable if possible.
That's such a good way of saying it. Yes. Because there is a lot of things that are out of our control, but there's so many things that we do have control over. And a lot of times we just don't think about it or we're kind of lazy or lax about it. And we'll handle it next time. But like I said, better safe than sorry. We all will agree on that. And if it even just takes another couple hour delay to get it done now and not have to worry about it later, it's so worth it. So I'm glad you brought that up.
A 2 hour delay is better than a 10 week delay. So
exactly. That's so true. And you'd be kicking yourself if you had a 10 week delay because you were trying to rush and didn't take the 2 hours to do something that you should have done. You're so right.
Yes.
Good. And so you bought a used RV, right? That was a used RV that you had bought from the dealer. Is that correct?
Yep. It was at a dealership. Someone had traded it in, I think, for a new motorhome. And so we bought it through a dealership. We bought it in 2019 and it's a 2015 model. So
Okay.
it was about 4 or 5 years old. And I think it had, I just looked at something the other day from our purchase. And so I think it had like 27 or 28,000 miles on it when we bought it.
Okay. Now, did it come with like any kind of warranty? Were you guys worried about buying used?
We were not worried about buying used. We bought an extended service plan, and that was a, I think it was a 3 year service plan, maybe it was 4 year service plan. It was a very expensive service plan, but it was worth every single penny. I think we paid about $6,000 for that, but it was covering nose to tail, and we got our money out of it in our first year.
Oh, so tell me about what happened. That's what my next question was going to be. I'm curious, buying used, we've only bought, two RVs, but they're both new. And, used obviously is such a better deal. Curious, what kind of experience you had.
So first, I'll tell you about our experience, but before we bought our motorhome, before we would buy any RV, new or used, I would highly recommend, and for ourselves, it would be a non-negotiable thing, but I would hire an independent surveyor to inspect the RV.
Yes.
You know, you don't think, I think especially when you're buying new, you don't think that you need to do that because it's covered under warranty, quote unquote, covered under warranty. Well,
Right.
sure, it's covered under warranty, but what's not covered under warranty is interrupting your life.
Yes.
And, you know, these things are not produced the same way that other things are manufactured, especially when you get into the motorhome side of things where, you know, it's not like a factory line. It is, but it's not. I mean, they're manufactured one unit at a time. So
Right.
things happen, you know, things get forgotten. Things, you know, people are human. It's not going through a line where the machine is building it for you. It's people who are human that make mistakes that, you know, forget to attach the water connector or they forget to, you know, flip the switch for whatever. So I would absolutely recommend that people buying an RV have a survey done. You wouldn't buy a new house without having an inspection, right? So it's the same thing with an RV.
Right.
So we had done that and they caught some stuff before we took possession and things that the inspector had found that the dealership corrected for us.
Oh, great.
And then we also bought this extended service plan. And the big thing that happened our first year on the road within 6 months was that we had a leak in our radiator. And the radiator had to be completely overhauled and replaced. And that was like a $10,000 job.
Oh, wow.
So in our very first 6 months of ownership, we got back, you don't ever get it back, right? But it didn't cost us as much money as if we didn't have that service plan. And then we were able to use that warranty to pay for lots of other little things that happened over the years, just things that break when you're on the road and when you're traveling, and nothing else that was really major. But because the warranty program covered everything, we were able to use it for some other repairs.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because there's so many people that are like, we don't need to spend the money on the warranty and especially not an extended warranty. But you're definitely proof that it is worth it. Wow, it gives you that peace of mind.
For us, yeah, it was peace of mind for sure in the beginning. And at the end of our warranty period, we had a whole punch list of stuff that we went and had fixed before the warranty was up.
So smart. I'm so glad you brought that up. Wow. I'm glad that it all worked out for you guys because that could have been a huge, huge expense. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. And then you and Brian get along so good. It seems like you guys are really having such a good time together doing this RV life. And, you were used to being together on a boat. And like you said, it was a lot smaller than your RV. So it probably wasn't a drastic change for you. And, You know, same thing for us. You know, Randy and I always got along really well, and we never really had any issues about being in our fifth wheel, even though we at the time thought that was so small. And then we moved into this one, and people were just laugh at us like, what are you guys thinking? And after 3 years, we're kind of thinking the same thing. What were we thinking? But we never argue about, you know, being together. It's just the fact that we have no room for anything. You know, we get a couple Amazon deliveries. We're like, we don't even have any room to open the box. So it's like, it's really, really hard. So, but that's the only thing. But
I cannot imagine.
Oh, we always say you don't know what you have until it's gone, and we will never take it for granted again. You know, we thought, oh, this is going to be easy. We don't need all this space. Well, you do. So, but, you know, people come in and they always, you know, look around, especially people who are not used to RVing. They'll look at us and, you know, look at each other and they'll say, we could never do it in our marriage. Like, we would never make it. And we laugh and we're like, oh, we have no issues with that. And, but I always like to find out from people that are living in a small space, and your space is pretty big, but is there any tips or tricks that you guys, you know, do to stay safe, especially like working in the RV, cooking, like you said, you do everything in one room. Is there anything that you guys do to, you know, make everything a little bit easier for you and to get along, and if there's any tips that you'd like to share?
Well, noise canceling headphones are super important, especially for Brian. He's on a Zoom call almost 80% of his day. So,
oh, wow.
And, you know, honestly, Jamie, this sounds kind of crazy, but there are days where we say good morning to each other and then we don't really talk to each other again until like 5 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
And we just are used to that. You know, that's just how it is. I mean, I can interrupt him and ask him something. I can look at his screen and see if he's on a call or whatever, but respecting each other, whether you're living in a small space or you're living in 4,000 square feet, is, I think, a very important piece of any relationship, whether it's a marriage or a friendship. So just respecting each other. And then, you know, we both get alone time. Brian is a night owl.
Okay.
So he likes to stay up late at night after I've gone to bed, and he gets time to himself to watch whatever he wants to watch on TV and just kind of have the living space to himself. I am anything but a night owl. I'm usually asleep on the couch at like 10 o'clock at night because I can't keep my eyes open.
Yes, the same way.
So I get alone time in the morning when before he gets up. And, you know, usually it's for me to go for a walk with Skipper and have a cup of coffee and
right,
all of that before Brian gets up. But I do get some alone time just to be by myself without him.
That's smart. Yeah, that's so good. And we all do need alone time. No matter how much people get along, it is nice to have some alone time and, you know, just be with your thoughts and all of that. So that works out really good for you guys, for him to have alone time in the evening and then you have alone time in the morning. It's perfect.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, during the day, we sometimes just do different things, right? I'll go run some errands, or I'll go sit outside and he'll be inside, or we work on different things. So I think just because we're living in a small space, it doesn't mean that you have to do everything together.
Right. Yep. That's so true. That is so true. And since you guys knew nothing about RV life, you just had this, or Brian had this idea, asked you about it. You said yes. You took your 5-year plan into 5 months and you bought the RV that you wanted, and really not having any issues besides, you know, the radiator and all that, but just different things like that. You're making it look so easy. You're having such a good time. It's so exciting that this is working out so well for you. I would love to find out, what is your advice for somebody who's just considering this RV life?
I say you have to picture yourself living in the RV that you're looking at. And, or if you're not looking at an RV specifically, just think about what it would be like. Can you imagine yourself doing it? And if you're looking at an RV specifically, are you sitting down on the couch in it, Are you able to see the TV? Did you lay down in the bed? Can you get in and out of the bed comfortably? In the shower, can you move around so that you're going to be able to wash your hair okay? Or, if someone's tall and they're in some of these RVs I know have very small shower stalls. So if you're a 6'5" tall man, are you going to be able to get in there and actually get yourself clean? So just kind of trying it on as best as you can. If you're in the kitchen, are you going to be able to wash your vegetables and then chop them? Like, how is it going to work for you? So just picture yourself living in it as best as you can and trying it on as best as you can. And if you have the opportunity and you want to try different things out, then renting is a really great option for people. It's not exactly inexpensive to rent an RV, but I think versus what it costs to buy an RV and have the wrong RV, I think that renting can be a really good thing. Before we bought our sailboat, we rented, I don't even know how many different sailboats, just to try it on. Like, how big do we need? What size do we need? How does it feel to be on a boat that's this big? Can we manage the sails? How does it work? So, renting, I think, there's some companies out there that have all different types of, I think RV Share is the big one, that have anything from a van to a Class A motorhome that you can rent. So just seeing how it's going to be.
That really is such great advice. That is something we did not do. And we always were wondering, like, are we going to make the worst decision of our lives? And it was a gamble. I mean, it really was. Like, we didn't know. And thankfully, we loved our RV, our 40-foot fifth wheel. We ordered it. We'd never even been in an RV and we ordered it. And, we didn't know anything about doing black tank, gray tank, nothing. And we didn't know if we were going to like it. And thankfully, we did make a great decision, but not everybody is the same. And so that's such good advice before people spend a lot of money just trying this out. It would be so much better to spend a little bit of money to rent it and make sure that you can do it. That's such smart advice.
Yeah, thanks. I really think that, the worst thing that happens, and this is what I said when we were making the move to go into the RV, for me, the worst thing that happened was I didn't like it and we decided to go back to a traditional lifestyle. I promised myself 1 year, and that was, I think some of my family thought I was crazy. I think my sisters were sure that I was going to be back in a house, but I gave myself a year just to try it because the worst thing that happened was that we had to buy stuff again, that we had to go back to a house, that we had to sell our RV or whatever. So you have to take a chance to really be able to experience it.
Right.
It won't be the end of your life if it doesn't work for you.
That is true. And that's something that people don't consider too. Like, what is the worst case scenario? Okay, the worst case scenario is yes, you sell it, maybe you lose some money, maybe you have to, buy your house again or buy a different house or whatever. But I mean, that's not like the worst case scenario. I mean, it's not like the end of the world. Like you said, that's what we decided too. Okay, we quit our jobs. We were physical therapist assistants, and we were going to do travel therapy. And so we sold our house, quit our jobs, bought this RV, and signed with a recruiter. And we're like, we don't even know if we like travel therapy, and we don't know if we like RVing. And it was a huge gamble, but we didn't want to live with any regrets. And we are so glad because we found out it was the best decision that we've ever made. And you'll never know unless you try it. So yeah, we could have screwed everything up and said, okay, now can we have our jobs back and now we got to buy another house, but we wouldn't have had the regrets, still, because we would have found out that maybe that wasn't for us. But thankfully, now it opened up this whole world that we didn't even know was out there, and we're so excited about it, and I almost get more excited every year that we're in it. So yeah, we have no desire to stop anytime soon. So that's exciting. Very, very good advice. Thank you so much for sharing that. And then I think the two biggest questions that people ask that are considering RV life and they just don't know kind of how things work is one is how do you get your mail? And let me ask you that now that you're traveling a lot and how do you get your mail?
We use a mail forwarding service. There are many out there. We use Escapees RV Club, and we have since we started 5 years ago. So they, like most mail forwarding services, depending on the level of service that you pay for, They let us know when we have new mail. They take a picture of it or scan it. We can look at it and decide if we want them to open it, to throw it away, or to send it to us with our next mail. They get rid of all the junk mail, which is the best part ever. So the only thing we ever get is just first class mail. And then we have it sent to us wherever we are every few weeks, depending on what's in the mail. Sometimes we'll go 5 or 6 weeks if we don't really have anything. We pay all of our bills online. So there's really not a lot of mail that's coming to us anyway. And they make it easy so that we don't have a lot to worry about with it. So, and they can take packages for us if we are really desperate for a package that we are not sure what the delivery time frame is. We can have it sent there and then we just pay to have it sent to us. But typically we're using for packages for Amazon shopping, we're using the RV park where we're staying, or we're finding a locker or a UPS store that is affiliated with Amazon, or having mail sent to general delivery at the post office.
Yeah, that's so good. I didn't know, like when we started, didn't know any of that existed. We just thought we had to like ask a family member if we could use their address. We did not know that there were the, you know, mail forwarding companies out there. And we didn't even know that you can have a different domicile state and, you know, just do your research about what makes sense for you. And there are so many things out there. And I'm glad that it all works out. And it's really seamless. And we use the same thing and have the app on our phone and check. And, you know, like you said, you really hardly even get any mail anymore. Everything's done online, which is really nice.
Inevitably, though, what happens, Jamie, and you probably know this from all of the years that you've been RVing now, you get mail on the day after they ship your mail to you.
Yeah.
It happens every time.
Yep.
It's like Murphy's Law. Like, you don't get mail forever. You finally say, okay, I'm going to have it shipped. They ship it, and then the next day you have new mail sitting there. Like, what is going on? Yeah. I already have mail.
That is funny that that happens, but yep, you're right. It is nice, though, to know that you can have it forwarded whenever or don't have to have it forwarded immediately. You know, they can hold it for you until you get enough accumulated to send it over. I love that.
Or they open it and scan it for you so that if it is something that you need to have sooner rather than later, you can get that, right?
Right. I love that too. I love that they can do that because a lot of times you just need to read it, but you don't really need it. So then they could just trash it and that saves a lot of time too. That's so good. Where did you guys decide? Did you keep your Michigan domicile or did you guys go somewhere else?
No, we domiciled in South Dakota.
Okay. Okay, good.
Again, Brian had a major spreadsheet I could probably sell if I could find it for all of the best reasons for domiciling in different locations. So we are technically residents of South Dakota.
That's so cool.
And we picked South Dakota. From what I remember, South Dakota was our choice because it's a state income tax-free state, first and foremost. It is very RV friendly, so you can do a lot of your stuff for South Dakota is easily accessible online.
Nice.
The sales tax is fairly low and insurance rates for South Dakota were pretty low.
Oh, that's so good for the listeners to know. I've heard that South Dakota is one of like the most popular, but I really never heard why. So it made sense that all those things would be benefits. So very good. I'm glad that you discussed that. That's so good. I love that. And then I think the second biggest thing that people want to know is how do you make money on the road? You know, there's so many people, and I think COVID kind of changed this question because now people realize, oh, people can work remotely. And that wasn't a thing when we started. And so it is a lot easier now to work on the road, especially with internet like Starlink. That's, like you said, a total game changer. But a lot of people don't have that luxury. And so if you don't mind sharing what you guys do to make money on the road.
Yeah, no problem. So Brian has had a remote job for as long as I've known him. He's worked remote, I think. He's had many jobs. He works in the tech industry. So tech is so dynamic that Brian, in our life of being together has had many jobs, and most of them have been remote jobs. There's been a job here or a job there where it hasn't been. But he has the normal, if you will, Monday through Friday, not quite 9 to 5 because it depends what time zone we're in. And he works actually with some people from overseas, so sometimes he has late phone calls, but he's our main moneymaker and the one with the kind of normal, if you will, job, and it's in IT security. He manages the governance, risk, and compliance for a major startup company, so he's knee-deep in all kinds of government regulations, and he can tell you how likely you are to get hacked or not. Yeah. And then I left my career in the wine business to live this lifestyle. And I like to think of myself as the plate spinner, you know, that person at the circus who always has like 10, 15 different plates spinning all at once. So
yes,
I manage our life. And I call myself the estate manager. You might like that term, but
I love that.
I am the estate manager for us. So I am the cook, the cleaner, the candlestick maker.
And you do so good at it.
I am also monetizing our lifestyle in some ways and supplementing our income through content creation on my Instagram page, Facebook page, working as a brand ambassador for a couple different brands, and then writing an article for RV Destinations magazine every issue about a food tour in America. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, you are a fabulous content creator.
Thank you.
And you do such good work and you are a natural at that. Did you do anything like that when you were working? Did you dabble with writing or making, you know, content in any way?
I mean, not really. The job that I had the last 15 years of my life allowed me to do some stuff for marketing. So I guess I had a little bit of marketing experience in that role. But no, it's really just me and figuring out as I go what works and what doesn't work. And mostly I find out what doesn't work. It always makes me laugh. I will be so proud of myself. I'll be like, just yesterday I posted this little reel on Instagram that's like the big trend right now with the audio trend and the this and the that. And you know, I spent time putting the little video together, which takes a stupid amount of time for what it is. And I'm all excited because I'm going to be right on top of the trend, right? And it's like the lowest performing reel I've had in I don't even know how long. So
isn't that so frustrating? Oh, the algorithms are like, what is this? Yes. I do that on YouTube. I'll post a short and it's like, oh my gosh, this is so great. This is such valuable content. And it will get like maybe 50 views, no likes. And then I'll post like a stupid thing about like just my dog napping or something that has no value, but just cute. And it'll get thousands and thousands of views and likes and comments. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Yeah, what does the algorithm want? So, oh, that's funny. But yes, it's very frustrating at the time. But you do so many great reels and share such great information and recipes and funny stuff and fun. And it's been so great getting to know you.
Oh, thanks, Jamie. I like to say that we share food and beverage basically on the road as we go one destination at a time, whether that's going out to eat and experiencing local culture in the places where we are, or me cooking in our tiny house. You know, my kitchen has wheels, I always say. So I know when I first started in the sailboat that I was anxious about cooking on the sailboat. I love to cook at home already, but I was really anxious about how I was going to be able to cook on a sailboat. And I think there is a lot of anxiety about RV cooking, but I like to tell people that RV cooking is no different than cooking in a house made of sticks and bricks. You just might have to tweak the way that you do it a little bit, or you might want to tweak a recipe so you don't have as many dishes to wash. Other than that, it's really the same. And so I want to make it as easy as possible and for people to be able to make recipes that aren't going to cause them a lot of stress or a lot of dishes to do, because I don't want to do all the dishes either.
Right. That's so true. That's why, like I said, you make it look so easy that I'm thinking, like, I've been doing this a long time and I'm thinking, oh, I didn't know I could have made that. Like, that's a great idea. And, you know, just everything looks so good. And I'm always like, oh, let's just be quick. And to be honest, I don't love to cook. So that might be my thing too.
Well, get yourself a better knife set and you'll be good. Yes.
That's so true. That's so true. I do need to get a better knife set and then maybe I won't be so frustrated. But no, you do have so many great recipes. And I love that you put stuff in your highlights for quick reference. So if our listeners, for some reason, do not follow you already, I hope they go right now and follow, because you guys share so many amazing things and you're such a good cook. One day I hope to see you and then you could cook for us. That would be super cool. But
I would be happy to.
That would be so fun. And I might even cook too. You never know. We could cook together one day. That would be super fun.
You can bring the wine.
Yeah, I could totally do that. Please tell everyone where they could find you to continue to follow more about your adventures on Instagram and the different places.
Yeah, so I am on the road of adventure, all one word, no spaces, no punctuation, on the road of adventure on Instagram, and then spelled out on the road of adventure on Facebook. And those are the best places that people can find me. We do have a website. It is a little defunct right now, but it is still accessible, and it's ontheroadofadventure.com. I'm working on overhauling things, but it's a slow go, and especially when you're more focused on travel than you are on your website. So Instagram and Facebook are the best places, and it's just On the Road of Adventure.
Oh, that's so awesome. Well, listeners, if you already do not follow Anne and Brian, go now and follow, because you will not be disappointed. They share so many good things. Anne is a fantastic content creator, and you will learn so much from what she shares. Anne, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for all of your time. It has been so much fun getting to know you better, and I definitely hope we get to meet on the road one day.
I'd love that, Jamie. Thanks so much, and safe travels to you.
Wasn't Anne so wonderful for all the great information that she shared? I just loved our conversation and getting to know her better. Anne has a huge social media following, so I hope you already follow her and enjoyed getting to know her better. But if for some reason you're not, go now and follow her on Instagram and Facebook at On the Road of Adventure. She shares a ton of valuable information, and you'll quickly become a big fan of hers like I am. You'll also find all the links to her social media and website in our show notes and on our website at romanyourhome.com/ontheroadofadventure. Come back each week because I have so many fun interviews coming up. You won't want to miss these great conversations filled with so many awesome tips and travel information. I learned so much and I know you will too, so come back each week. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with anyone who might find it helpful. I look forward to being with you next week, and until then, stay safe, and I hope to see you on the road. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you would subscribe to our show and consider giving us a 5-star review. It's free and would mean the world to us and help us grow. If you know anyone who would also enjoy this podcast, please share it with a friend. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook at Roam in Your Home. Come back next week for another fun adventure. But until then, stay safe, and we hope to see you on the road.